Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Who remembers what took place on Sunday, June 5th? Anyone? That's when we celebrated the day of Pentecost. And here we are, more than 5 months later. And the season of Pentecost now draws to a close. Next week marks the end of another church year. That's it, my friends. It's all done. But then comes a brand new church year and the season of Advent, pastor's favorite time of the church year. Of course, people say, or people ask, let me rephrase that, Pastor, why? Why Advent? Why not Christmas? Why not Easter? It's simple. Christ has come in the flesh. Christ has lived and died and rose to pay for my sins. Yours too. It's all done. Christ has ascended to his Father's right hand. And there he rules over his church on earth until when? Until the day of his return. The day of judgment. The day of redemption. Upon this, I now wait. You too, right? And until then, the season of Advent anticipates the end, when our Lord Jesus Christ will return in all his power and glory. And of course, we don't know when, but he could come today. And of course, you do know what will happen when Jesus comes again on the last day, don't you? Everything ends. Everything as we know it. That's going to happen. Now I must ask, how often do you think about that? Who here this morning woke up and said, today could be the last day of the universe? Today could be the last day of everything I know here on earth. I already know the answer to those questions. You do too. I mean, who's got time to think about the last day? What about the days ahead? The family's coming to your house for Thanksgiving in a few weeks. Maybe you're going there. Right behind that comes Christmas and much, much more of the same. And until then, there's much work to be done. There are appointments to be made. There are appointments to be kept. There are places you must go. There are things you must do. In fact, you've got so many things going on that in your mind, the world is not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, come on. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus rose and ascended into heaven. And if people back in the days of Jesus asked, where is the promise of his coming? What are we to think? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3:4. And yes, that was 2,000 years ago. It's been a long time. Who knows here when Jesus will show up? So perhaps you see this as a time to give your attention to other and more immediate concerns. And what are those? What's got your attention? Your daily routine? Your holiday traditions? Your way of life? You've already made plans for tomorrow and the day after that, for next week, next month, next year, and probably 10 years after that. You've invested your entire life in making sure that everything goes according to plan, your plan. And as far as you're concerned, nothing is going to spoil those plans, not even Jesus' return. And you know, that's likely what Jesus' disciples thought when they looked upon that magnificent temple in the heart of the city of Jerusalem. Much planning had gone into the raising of that awesome building. Do you know that it took 46 years to bring that to completion? The temple was built to withstand the test of time. And the people of that day were convinced that it would stand forever. It didn't. Jesus says, as for these things that you see, The days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And about 40 short years later, what Jesus said came true. The temple was destroyed, never to be seen again. Jesus says, as for those things you see. You know, Jesus was not only referring to the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus was talking about the end of time and everything you know and see today. Now some might wonder, why all this talk about an unknown time? Jesus didn't want his disciples to be unprepared for what was coming their way. And our way as well. So, what should we be prepared for? Well, Jesus says, many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. In other words, don't fall for false messiahs. They may have the appearance of godliness. They may sound very religious and spiritual. They may claim to have the answer to everything that troubles our world today. And they are false prophets. Ignore them all. From the day of mankind's fall, this world stands under the curse of sin. And when Jesus returns, this world and everything in it is going away, once and for all. Okay. What else should we be prepared for? Hard times. Hard times ahead. As a Christian, do you really expect to live your best life now because you believe? If that's the case, you must believe in a false God. Because Jesus makes no such promises to his followers. To the contrary, Jesus warns us that life will be hard and that it will grow harder as the end nears. My friends, can't you feel it? Can't you see it out there? We're experiencing it now. The present order of things is slowly but surely coming apart. And until it does, Christians will be persecuted. They will be mocked and mistreated. They will be arrested and tried and even put to death. Let's face it, the gospel has never been a welcome message in this world of unbelief because the world hates to hear it. The world hates to hear the truth. And unbelievers will do whatever they can to silence those who would speak it. That may include you. But before you stand up, not before you stand up and you bear witness and testify to the truth, and even if it cost you your life. Did I hear someone say they can't do it? Yes, you can. And with God's help, yes, you will. When you are called to do so, Jesus has promised to give you the words that you will speak. And you will speak the truth in such a way that no one can dispute it. Jesus never leaves his church without breath. My friends, you have been baptized into Christ. You have been given the Spirit of God, and with it, the breath and words to confess the faith. And I know. How can you stand up against such growing opposition? Receive God. Receive God in word and in sacrament. Be fed and filled with Jesus until you overflow with his thoughts and his words. And then the Spirit will put you to work. He will use every scripture you ever read, every sermon you've heard, and every hymn you've ever sung to provide you with the words that you will speak. And yes, there will be people who will hate you for it. But that shouldn't surprise you. And nor should it frighten you. My friends, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes you this promise. Not a hair on your head will be lost. For even if you die for confessing the faith, you will gain your life. And although you die, yet you will live. And by living and believing in Jesus Christ, you will never die. And on the last day, you shall see him as he is. Because you, my friend, shall be like him. That's right. That's you. Rising forever, never to die. But that's not the world. The world is going to die. Have we not already seen nations and empires rise and fall? Have we not seen powerful institutions fail and go away, never to be seen again? Even the temple, so magnificent in stature and design, would fall. Yes, 40 years had passed before Jesus' prediction was fulfilled. You see, my friends, that's how it's done. When God speaks its word, it's already done. In his timing, not in ours. And even through what might seem to be the very worst of times, God is always working for the good of his people. Recall the destruction of the temple. It was only then that God brought people together of every tribe, language, and nation into his church. And those who were once outsiders are now insiders. Therefore, this time is the time when all nations are discipled into Christ through baptizing and teaching of the word until that day when Christ returns. And this time is no more. Jesus told us he's coming. And when he does, what took place in Jerusalem in 70 AD was but a small preview of what will take place on the last day. On that day, the sun which humanity has always depended will go dark. The moon will turn as red as blood, and the stars will fall from the heavens. The seas will roar and foam, and all humanity will be shaken to its core. And on that day, every struggle you have endured in Christ's name will be well worth it. I ask you, what will it be like to look upon your God with your own eyes? You will know. You will see his glory. So don't live in fear when these things begin to take place. Look forward to the day. Straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near and your Redeemer is coming for you. So yes, I do love this time of year. It's a reminder that these are the final days. For a time that was already made final when Jesus cried out with his dying breath, "It is finished." It's already done. God has judged and condemned the world under the law for our sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ bore God's judgment and saved us from the condemnation of our sin. So yes, these are the final days before our Lord's return. And it is time to think about that, my friends. Time to take some time, set aside your fears and live by faith. Time to entrust yourself to him. Time to get ready. Time to rejoice as well. And to remember that on the last day, the one who comes to judge will be the same one who died to give you his life. And you will live it with him in the kingdom of God forever and evermore. In Jesus' name.
And thank you, dedicated soldiers, for allowing us to live the way that we do. Thank you for keeping us safe and allowing us to enjoy our families. Thank you for everything. Thank you. Our liberty is something we hold dear. Unfortunately, there are those that have sought to take it away. Time and time again, they have been met by an immovable force, one that is resolute, one that never backs down, one that has always stood victorious. These heroes are the veterans of our armed forces. We have, because they gave. With a grateful heart, we say thank you for your service and your sacrifice. We say thank you for your service. We say thank you for freedom. Let us never forget what you have done. For everything we have and everything that we are is because of your sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We honor you, veterans, today. Thank you. Can we give our veterans and our serving soldiers one more round of applause?
Finally, and most importantly, we thank you, dearest God. You are our protector and our safe haven. You are the joy of our lives. You make our life worth living. You have blessed us with our families, our church, our freedom, and our everything. To thee we give you our utmost praise and love. Today we are empowered by our past, grateful for our future, and preparing for our future, with our God at the helm. Praise be to thee, our almighty protector, savior, and leader. All praise to thee.